You're listening to Rocky Mountain Review on 90.5 FM at KCSU Fort Collins for Thursday, March 28th. I'm Lee Zimpel, your news director.
And I am Tyler Weatherwax, your assistant news director. And we are the voices behind the Rocky Mountain Review news broadcast that airs every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
As always, we here at the Rocky Mountain Review strive to give you the most up-to-date, unbiased, and factual news. On today's show, commencement at CSU will look a little different for 2025. Tyler will go over those changes and more in campus news.
And Larimer County commissioners will soon decide on a pipeline that would share water with a city about an hour south of Fort Collins. Learn how to weigh in on the conversation in local with Lee.
Then learn some ways you could spend your weekend either out on the town or on campus with Tyler in Life and Events.
Later on in the broadcast, the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, might be changing some of its emergency management policies, and they're using last month's on-campus homicide to figure out where the policy fell short. More on that in National with Lee. And with that, we'll get started with campus news. Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax, and this is your Colorado State University campus news. In an announcement yesterday, CSU President Amy Parsons went over changes coming for graduating students of CSU starting in 2025. Parsons wrote in a letter talking about the 2025 commencement, which will allow for future graduating classes starting in 2025 to come together for a way to share their experiences. In May of 2025, the commencement will be held in Canvas Stadium. Students can celebrate their hard work all together in a university-wide ceremony. Departments will host recognition events, and students' families can attend to meet and greet with the faculty that taught the students. CSU plans to no longer host just the two commencements in both the fall and the spring semesters, but will now have one event to host the additional event for all the graduating students. Students who graduate in the fall can also attend the event, and the first commencement will take place on May 16th of 2025. Tuesday night here on campus, inside the university ballrooms of the Laurie Student Center, debates were held for the ASCSU presidential elections. Presidential candidate Georgia White and vice presidential candidate Leticia Madrigal-Tapia, presidential candidate Nick DeSalvo and vice presidential candidate Braxton Dietz, and presidential candidate Claudia Perioso and vice president candidate Ava Alala. The three campaigns took the stage to discuss topics such as student fee spending with events such as the recent rail jam. Campaign goals, how they handle being president and vice president, the future goals of ASCSU, and much more were also discussed. There was also a time for those in attendance, either virtually or in person, to ask their own questions to the candidates. You can watch the full debate on CTV Channel 11's YouTube channel. CSU is remembering Diana Wall, who passed away on March 25th. Wall was a climate scientist who did groundbreaking work at CSU. A professor at CSU, Wall was also a soil ecologist. Wall was an elected member of the National Academy of Sciences, and she grew up in North Carolina and received her education at the University of Kentucky, Lexington. CSU President Amy Parsons said, quote, "Diana was not only a brilliant ecologist, but also kind, and she treated people and the planet with utmost respect." That is all for your campus news for today. Make sure to tune back on Tuesday as ASCSU elections will be in full swing. You can learn more about the candidates running. And coming up now is Lee with your local news. Find out about a Windsor police officer who was arrested and a missing man.
In local news, the city of Thornton, which is about an hour drive south from Fort Collins, proposed a pipeline that would bring water from Larimer and Weld counties to its local farms and residents. That idea for a water pipeline was first officially filed by Thornton in 2019, and now Larimer County commissioners are planning to hold some public hearings to talk about it with the community before they make a decision. The county announced their schedule yesterday in a press release. The first public hearing is set for Wednesday, April 10th, and if it's needed, they'll have more meetings planned for Thursday, April 11th, and Wednesday, April 17th. Then, based on those chats with the community, county commissioners will meet at least twice to decide on Thornton's application later into next month and in May. All of these meetings will be held in the Larimer County Administrative Services Building in Fort Collins, and they'll all start at 6 p.m. Officials say the public can join those meetings either in person or virtually through Zoom. A man from neighboring Weld County has gone missing as of last week, and authorities are asking the larger community for help in finding him because they believe he could be suffering from ideas of self-harm. 41-year-old Sean Salzman was last seen on Friday. The Weld County Sheriff's Office says he was seen driving west on Highway 34 in Hans Peak Drive around 4 p.m. in Loveland. He was driving a black Dodge pickup truck that had a red tailgate. The truck has a fuel tank and a large toolbox in the bed, and the front of its windshield is cracked. Police say Salzman is known to regularly visit Teller and Lake counties and also Leadville. Police describe him as 6 feet tall and 230 pounds with bald blonde hair and blue eyes. In the photo of him that officials released, he is wearing black eyeglasses and has a blonde beard. He was last seen wearing a black shirt with fluorescent green stripes, Carhartt jeans, and brown boots. Police are asking anyone who might have seen Salzman to reach out to the Weld County Sheriff's Office. A Windsor police officer is facing accusations he committed crimes while off the clock. The officer is 44-year-old Vladimir Zizin, and he was arrested by Canyon City authorities Monday on charges of domestic violence, stalking, burglary, and harassment. Zizin has been with the Windsor Police Department for less than a year, and since his arrest, he's been placed on administrative leave for the investigation. Police have not given specific detail about what they think happened, but from a press release, they say whatever Zizin allegedly did happened at the tail end of last year while he was off duty. Windsor police say the accusations only came to light last month, and that's when they spread the word to the Larimer County Sheriff's Office and Canyon City Police. The investigation is ongoing, and as a disclaimer, officials say Zizin is innocent until proven guilty. Until more is known, interim Windsor Police Chief Aaron Lopez says his department, quote, takes integrity, accountability, and transparency very seriously. Those were your local news updates for this week. My name is Lee Zimpel. Up next, you'll get the weekend local event lineup and more with Tyler in Life at Events after the break.
Support for KCSU comes from the Fort Collins Music Association and FOCO MX. FOCO MX is hosting a live music pre-party on campus at the Ramskeller Pub & Grub on Wednesday, April 10th from 4 to 7 p.m. Featuring live music performances from local bands, this pre-party is open to all ages. Supporters of live music and FOCO MX include 90.5 KCSU, Ram Events, CSU Music Business Collective, and Music by Masses. More information about FOCO MX happening April 19th and 20th can be found at focoma.org.
Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax with Life and Events for the Rocky Mountain Review. CSU's SWANA, which stands for Southwest Asian and North African Organization, celebrated Ramadan with a iftar meal on March 22nd. During the holy month of Ramadan, Muslims participate in abstain from drinking water or eating food during the daylight hours. SWANA sat down to share a meal for the breaking of their fast with approximately 600 students in attendance. The event offered a place for Muslims to gather on campus as a community and offered a way for others to learn about their religion. Coverage of this story comes from the Rocky Mountain Collegian. As summer approaches, many are preparing for their time at Horsetooth Reservoir. Those with boats are eager to get their boat slip rentals. Larimer County Department of Natural Resources will be implementing a new lottery system for boating enthusiasts. The new system is meant to ensure an open process and a fairer opportunity for people who want a slip. This story comes from the Coloradoan. Some events coming up in the city, you can catch No Thanks along with Jacob Hillman, DJ TGs, and Tyler James. No Thanks is a high-energy house music group based out of the western coast of Canada. The group has over 15 years of combined production experience, and you can catch them at the Aggie Theater Saturday night starting at 8 p.m. For Easter Sunday, you can attend the Easter Sunrise Service in Masonville, which is located just southwest of Horsetooth Reservoir. Two services will be held, both outdoors if the weather holds up. The services will be at Buckhorn Church in Masonville. The first service will be at 7:30 a.m., and the second service will start at 10:30 a.m., with breakfast served in between, starting at 8:45 a.m. That's all for your life and events segment of the Rocky Mountain Review. Now, next up is Lee with your feature story on the ACT Human Rights Film Festival.
Next week, filmmakers from around the world will come to Fort Collins for a five-day festival, which will showcase nearly a dozen films featuring a variety of cultural and personal experiences. It's called the ACT Human Rights Film Festival, and it comes from CSU's Communications Department. For almost a decade, the film festival has been a yearly tradition every April, and it tries to bring global awareness to the Fort Collins community. Even though the festival has been around for a while now, oftentimes CSU students don't know very much about it. With the festival making its comeback as soon as next week, I spoke with a fellow student who is part of the team that makes it possible. Sydney Newbold is a student intern with the ACT team, and here she explains what the festival is all about.
My name is Sydney Newbold. I use the she series pronouns. ACT being a human rights film festival is different than what you might see at Cannes or at a Venice Film Festival or even ones such as Sundance or the Telluride Film Festival. ACT is specifically targeting these human rights stories and experiences that as young students on campus, our ACT team really feels that we can all benefit from learning about an experience unlike our own. I mentioned before, these films are not necessarily going to be your, you know, A24 or even a Marvel or a Disney. They're not necessarily there for pure entertainment. They're there to educate and expose stories that often go untold. And being a CSU student, you know, thinking about our pillars of membership as students, this is definitely something that ACT wants to lean into, is really learning about cultures and experiences that we may not get a taste of every day in our life as students.
The film festival will start right here on campus next week on Wednesday, April 3rd. It'll run into the weekend until Sunday, April 7th, but it won't be on campus for all of it. The first 2 days of the festival will be at the LSC Theater, then it'll move to the Lyric starting Friday, April 5th. Across those 5 days, there's a fairly big lineup of a variety of films to see. Newbold says a couple of them in particular are on her radar. She hasn't seen any of them yet in full, but based on some previews she's seen with some other ACT team members, she knows she's excited for a good amount of them. She shared a little bit of a sneak peek into some of those films to give you an idea about what kinds of stories will be told.
Being a student here on campus, I have the privilege to really work one-on-one with my ACT advisors, and I have had the chance to screen and help review and curate some of these films. So some that I am really excited to see, and specifically, are The Rise of Wagner, which talks about the impact of the Russian military and kind of their foreign relations. The second one, Ken Burns, is coming via Zoom, and he will be having a Q&A about his film, The U.S. and the Holocaust. And those are the two feature-length films, so they are about like more than an hour long. And then one that I recently learned about is called Medina, which is about a teenage girl who survived ISIS trafficking in Iraq. So she will actually be there. Medina is the subject of her own film, and she is the filmmaker. This is something that has really never been documented before. She's the first woman who will be actually prosecuting her traffickers. So as a woman and as a student in America who is unfamiliar with some of these global issues, I'm really, really interested in that feature-length film. When it comes to shorts, though, some that I'm interested in are In the Dirt, which is about Native American cyclists, and then there's another short film called Under God, and this is about female reproductive rights, specifically in the state of Florida, and I am a Florida native, so I was like, this film feels like it's for me. So, like I mentioned before, the films that I want to see are a mix of these greater feature-length films, something that, you know, you would typically go see in a movie theater. are that long, an hour to two. And then other ones range from 8 to 30 minutes being the shorts. So really, if you're looking for something a little bit deeper and something to really connect with and sit and reflect on, there's such a wide range and a diverse scope that you could go and attend to see. So I'm really excited about them all. I could talk about this forever.
That excitement is one that Newbold and other ACT organizers hope to share with the rest of the CSU community, specifically the students. She says that this year, the ACT team hopes they can see more students come to the screenings, and they hope to get the campus community more engaged with today's global issues.
We're college kids. We're often caught up in our own lives and our own walk of life. And so I think that having a safe space for not only screenings, but also Q&As post-screening and really one-on-one interactions with filmmakers. I mean, I can speak from my own experience. Just being able to preview these films has led me to think differently about my privilege and about my positionality as a student here, and has really encouraged me to go research and educate and truly just listen and try to actively engage with stories that aren't directly like my own.
At the end of our conversation, Newbold also hinted that there would be a secret screening to wrap up the festival on Sunday at the Lyric. She wasn't able to get into detail about what the secret film was, but she says if anyone is curious about it, tickets to see it are available on the ACT website, which is actfilmfest.colostate.edu. We're going to take a quick break, but coming up, I'll walk you through some national headlines. The University of Colorado, Colorado Springs is taking another look, this time with some experts, into the fatal shooting of two people in an on-campus apartment that happened last month. The university might be making some changes based on what they find, and we'll dig into that as soon as we come back.
Alchemy speaking to you, dear listener. My show, The Witching Hour, is up next on KCSU. I've got a wide variety of topics lined up to talk about, including CSU sports and pop culture, so stay tuned.
Welcome back from the break. My name is Lee Zimpel, and here's what you need to know to get caught up with some national updates. The University of Colorado, Colorado Springs is considering making some changes to its policies since last month's on-campus homicide that left a student and another person dead in an apartment. The university hired two former attorneys to take another look at that fatal shooting and the events that led up to it. The review will be conducted by John Southers and Jason Dunn. They'll release a summary of their findings, and based on those, we'll make some recommendations to the university on what can be done to prevent something like that from happening again. On Monday, the university's chancellor, Jennifer Sobenet, wrote in an email to the campus that the UCCS emergency management team would then consider implementing those suggested changes. Authorities say the victims, which were 24-year-old Samuel Knopp and 26-year-old Celie Rain Montgomery, were killed about a month after the shooter threatened to do so. The suspect was the student victim's roommate in an on-campus apartment, and police say there was an ongoing dispute about living conditions between them. Investigators also say that the student victim and another roommate made multiple complaints to the university about the suspect as part of the dispute. The death threat was also reported to campus police and housing officials, but investigators say there is no evidence the university made an attempt to remove the suspect from the apartment. UCCS itself has not said whether or not they took any action about those complaints before the shooting, but university officials say the silence is because the investigation is still ongoing. Information for this story comes from AP News. Colorado is the only state in the U.S. that does not require funeral home directors to have a license to handle bodies. And after a recent string of disturbing funeral home discoveries, state lawmakers might change that. The proposed bill would regulate anyone handling bodies for funeral homes, from morticians to embalmers, to have a mortuary science degree, to do a one-year apprenticeship, and to pass a criminal background check. This comes after Colorado has repeatedly made national news about discoveries of neglected bodies across several funeral homes. State Senator Dylan Roberts is one of the sponsors of the bill. He says those criminal charges are, quote, too many heinous examples of funeral professionals, funeral homes mistreating bodies, misrepresenting to customers about their services. State Representative Matt Soper, who is another sponsor of the bill, says that regulation is long overdue. On Tuesday, there was a committee hearing at the Capitol over the proposal, and families who have been impacted by the lack of regulation were there to give emotional testimony. According to 9 News, Colorado used to require a license in funeral professionals in the past, but it expired in 1983. And the last time a proposal for regulations was made, it was vetoed by the Colorado governor nearly 2 decades ago in 2006. With that, we'll wrap up national news for today. But coming up after the break, Austin Martin will lay out the CSU sports report, and then we'll finish with the weather. A quick heads up, you'll probably need a jacket if you're going out this weekend, but we'll go over why later on.
Dude, our accordion prog avant-garde ska duo just makes such good music, but I just don't feel like we have much of a platform.
I know, man. I feel like we're being IRL gatekept by our lack of ability to reach our target audience.
Whoa, who are you?
I am the music directory of KCSUFM.com.
Whoa, what do you do?
Bands who submit their information can show up here so their music can be displayed to the public.
Dude, we can make it out of the suburbs!
Go to KCSUFM.com and sign up your band on the music directory page, and they will appear on their website.
Say less.
Dude, we already have new fans.
Hey, I'm Austin Martin, sports director at KCSU. Here's what's going on this week in sports. CSU Track and Field was in South California for the Trojan Invitational Meet. The Rams had a total of 25 podium placements. The men's pole vault swept the podium, led by Eldridge Harris, with a mark of 4.70 meters. CSU will be split up this weekend with the Jack Christensen Invitational held in Fort Collins and the Stanford Invitational in Stanford, California. CSU tennis hosted Utah State and Boise State last weekend and walked away with wins against both programs. Rams tennis is now 2-1 in conference play as they prepare to head to Reno, Nevada this weekend to take on the Wolfpack. CSU softball lost all 3 games last weekend to the Nevada Wolfpack. They'll be looking to bounce back tonight on the road against San Diego State in a doubleheader matchup, followed by a Friday night game against the Aztecs. Rams softball is 18-12 on the season. CSU men's golf competed in the Duck Invitational Field and took 5th place in Eugene, Oregon. Connor Jones, Christoph Bleer, and Jay Pabin were all top 25 finishers at the Eugene Country Club. Jones was the only Ram to shoot par or better. CSU will be off until April 19th when they will be competing in Columbus, Ohio. CSU women's golf capped a historic day in Fresno, California as they won their 2nd straight tournament and 3rd of the year. The 3 tournament wins are a single season program record. Andre Bergsdotter picked up her 2nd individual medalist of the season and is now tied for a program best in single season wins as well as career wins. CSU will be back in action at the Chattanooga Classic on April 7th for the final regular season tournament of the year. And happy opening day to all the baseball fans out there. And it's Sweet 16 for the NCAA tournament as well. Be sure to tune into Ramblers tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. as Caleb Allen and I break down everything you need to know about Colorado State sports.
This weekend is going to bring some rain and cloudy skies, and if it gets cold enough, we might see a little bit of snow too. For now though, we're in the clear tonight. Tonight it'll be partly cloudy, but any rain will hold off until tomorrow. We'll see a low of 34 degrees and a bit of a breeze, with some gusts being a little pushier, but it shouldn't be too crazy out there. Friday we'll see a 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. As the day moves forward, it'll get cloudier out. The high will sit at 56 degrees. Friday night showers are likely to carry over and we could hear some thunder before midnight. It shouldn't thunderstorm after that, but the rain could still continue. The low will dip to about 33 and wind should be light and scattered. Saturday, it'll be partly sunny and we will see a low chance for some sun showers. We'll see a high of 61 and it'll feel a little breezy in the morning. Saturday night, that chance for showers will increase by a little bit, mainly before midnight. We'll see a partly cloudy sky and a low of 34. Then Sunday, we'll have a 50% chance of showers again in the afternoon, but it shouldn't be completely gray out there. It should be partly sunny as the day reaches a high near 62 degrees. Sunday night will cool to a low of 32, and again, rain showers are pretty likely throughout most of the night until early Monday morning. Around this time, it might cool off enough to have some rain showers turn into snow showers. Information for this forecast comes from the National Weather Service, as always, and I hope you can still have a great weekend despite the rain.
And that is all for today. We would like to thank Damian Castile for our amazing theme music. We would also like to thank the rest of our staff here at KCSU and Rocky Mountain Student Media. We couldn't do this without you.
Finally, we couldn't do this without you, dear listener, so thank you. If you missed any part of today's show, you can find the RMR podcast on kcsufm.com under the news or podcast section. You can also find us on Spotify or anywhere else you listen to your podcasts by searching KCSU News. And with that, we'll see you next time.